In recent times, change has rapidly come to our world. The COVID-19 pandemic has forced us to get used to a new normal and a new way of doing things. Many of us have had to adjust to new ways of engaging with technology, new ways of maintaining relationships, and new ways of doing our job. Change can be challenging. We can get used to the old way of doing things and not want to try something new. Jesus ran into the problem of resistance to change when he began his ministry. He sought to bring a new way of living, and not everyone was a fan. The Pharisees were one of Jesus' key opponents, partly because they were stuck in the old way of doing things. As we enter the middle of Luke chapter 5, the Pharisees have just questioned Jesus as to why he's eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners. And now they're keen to continue their criticism of him, this time specifically in relation to fasting. They begin by challenging Jesus in verse 33 and say to him, "John's disciples often fast and pray, and so did the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking." So Jesus' disciples are criticized for having a lifestyle that seems to be in contrast to proper religious tradition and custom. Now, the Pharisees' attack of Jesus is actually very sneaky. They line up the disciples of John the Baptist, who were assumed to be particularly sympathetic to Jesus, against him to make Jesus look out of step. Now, according to the law of Moses, fasting was actually only prescribed once per year, but was often practiced more regularly. The Pharisees would fast twice a week and would pray three times a day, and they would make sure that everyone knew about it. From elsewhere in the Gospels, we know that Jesus is in fact pro-fasting and praying. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, he says to his disciples, "When you fast and when you pray," but he makes it crystal clear that he's not in the same boat as the Pharisees. His mission involves a radical shift from traditional religious practices. He says, verse 34, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he is still with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and in those days they will fast." Now, the bridegroom throughout the Bible is a symbol for Jesus, and here the friends of the bridegroom refer to Jesus' disciples. Jesus knew that his death lay ahead and that the time for fasting would soon be here. But in the meantime, his presence as the Son of God was cause for celebration. In Old Testament times, people often fasted to pray that the Messiah would come. So Jesus says, "Things have changed. I'm the Messiah. I've arrived. We're doing things in a brand new way. Let's feast and celebrate." Jesus then uses three pictures to illustrate this change from the old way of rituals to the new way of celebration and grace. He uses the images of garments, wineskins, and wine, and we're going to look at these in turn. Firstly, garments. Jesus says, verse 36, "No one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old." Now, Jesus' sense of humour comes through here. It would be like me saying, "No one tears a piece out of their new pink chinos to patch a hole in their old blue jeans. Otherwise, they will have torn their new chinos, and the pink patch from the new chinos will not match the old blue jeans." Just like it would be foolish to patch an old pair of jeans with a new pair of chinos, it would also be foolish to patch the Old Testament law with Christ. Jesus is essentially saying to the Pharisees, "The Old Testament law used to be a good pair of jeans, but now it's ripped. And I'm not here to patch it up. I'm here to bring something completely new." Now, we are so inherently broken as human beings that the old way of ritual and tradition can never ultimately save us. But Jesus has brought a new way of doing things, the way of grace and celebration. Protestant reformer Martin Luther articulated this as salvation by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. No addition of works, merit, or tradition can save us. Jesus is in the business of completely transforming us and making us a new creation in Christ, not just of haphazardly patching us up. When someone relies absolutely on grace, they don't trust in their own moral life or church attendance plus a bit of Jesus on the side for their salvation. They're not a slightly broken person who becomes a little less broken when they start following Jesus. This would be like patching an old garment. Instead, they're a thoroughly broken person who is completely transformed by trusting in grace alone through Jesus alone. The new way of grace and celebration can't be tacked on to the old way of the law like a patch of clothing. Secondly, to illustrate the transition from the old way to the new way of doing things, Jesus uses the picture of wineskins. He says, verse 37, "No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved." Now, wineskins were made from goat skins with the openings sewed up. Newly pressed wine was poured into the wineskin through the neck, and the neck was then tied up to make the skin airtight. The juice would then ferment to make wine, and at the same time this would produce gas. And this gas would cause the goat skins to expand. Now, once this skin was used as a wineskin, it had been stretched to its limit. So if someone came along and poured new wine into the old wineskin, then when the new wine started to ferment and produce gases, the skin would start to stretch some more, but would reach its limit and burst so that both the wine and the wineskin would be ruined. Jesus is saying that while the Old Testament law was good for its purpose, it can't be stretched beyond its limit. The old wineskin of the law provided no room for flexibility. It said, "Here are the 613 things you must do, and if you miss any of them, well, too bad, you're out." But grace is different. Grace needs a new, flexible wineskin. When someone stops relying on the old way of doing things and relies completely on the new way of Jesus and his grace, their life will look very different. Rather than living a life of good works, burdened and restrained by the law, they'll live a life of freedom, which produces fruit by the Holy Spirit that's honouring to God. The new way of grace and celebration requires flexibility, like a new wineskin. The old wineskin of the law cannot be stretched beyond its limit. Thirdly, Jesus uses the illustration of wine. He says, verse 39, "No one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better." Now, this verse is a little confusing because it is true that most of the time old wine does taste better. But here, the old wine versus the new wine probably doesn't mean aged wine versus fresh wine. People normally like wine that they're used to, whether it be red, white, or a particular brand. Generally, when someone tries a new wine that they're not used to, they don't initially like it. I think the point here is that people tend to want the old and reject the new. And in this case, they wrongly assume that the old is better. So I think that Jesus is saying that people who are used to functioning under the law don't immediately like grace. Someone might say, "You mean I can't earn my own way into God's favour? Or how is it that Jesus has done it all for me? Or do you really mean there's no limit to how many times I should forgive someone who's wronged me?" The movie The Shawshank Redemption tells the story of two convicts who become friends in prison, Andy and Red, and spoilers ahead. One day, a friend of theirs is let out on parole after being in prison for almost his entire life. This man, who had lived his whole life in prison, didn't know how to function when he was set free. So tragically, he ended up committing suicide. Red and Andy struggle to understand why. In one scene, they're sitting in the prison courtyard staring at the dingy grey stone walls, and Red says, "At first you hate these walls, then you get used to them, then you don't think you can live without them." This is what the old way of the law can seem like sometimes. The new way of grace and celebration can take some getting used to. As one commentator puts it, grace is an acquired taste. But when we experience true freedom, grace, and celebration through Jesus, we won't want to go back to the old way. Jesus came with his radical gospel, but he didn't want to completely dispose of old traditions. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." Jesus didn't want to do away with the old way completely, but rather wanted to transform it. He wanted to recover the original intent and spirit of it instead of encouraging ritual and tradition for ritual and tradition's sake. So, if grace can't be tacked on to the old system like a patch of clothing, requires flexibility like a new wineskin, and is an acquired taste, how do we understand this grace for ourselves and share it with others? Avoiding the folly of the Pharisees who are stuck in the old way of doing things is crucial. The last thing we want to do is to live and promote a ritualistic works-based system. Now, we may know theologically that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, but this may not always be what we present to others as individual Christians or as God's church. Pastor and theologian Tim Keller says, "In evangelical churches today, we tend to draw conservative, buttoned-down, moralistic people, the licentious and liberated, or the broken and marginal, avoid church. That can only mean one thing. If the preaching of our ministers and the practice of our parishioners do not have the same effect on people that Jesus had, then we must not be declaring the same message that Jesus did." One of the dangers of being Pharisaic is that it's contagious. When we subtly imply through our church service and lifestyles that we're saved by being moral, law-abiding, educated, middle-class, white-collar citizens, others will think that that's what the Christian life looks like. Rather than someone of any life situation, socioeconomic status, and morality whose life has been radically transformed by the grace of Jesus. The Pharisees urged external moral duties like fasting without reference to the gospel. The law is not intended to simply make us look good on the outside, but rather to lead us to the gospel where grace and strength for new righteousness through Christ is freely given. To press moral duties on people who don't know and love Jesus without first showing them his grace would be to lay a heavy burden on them. To enforce obedience of biblical sexual ethics or to challenge a non-Christian's issues with anger, jealousy, or lying won't do much good unless you first show them the abundant grace available in Jesus, which will give them the desire to change their actions. If we're presenting any kind of workspace system or picture to obtain salvation, whether intentionally or not, we're still stuck in the old way. Jesus has brought a new way of doing things, the way of grace and celebration, ultimately fulfilled and achieved on the cross where he completely dealt with our sin once and for all. Do those around you feel guilty and weighed down by the law? Or are they amazed by grace and drawn to Christ's abundant love? Does your influence in their lives widen their eyes and heart to the work of God's Holy Spirit in you and give them the desire to experience the same transformation? Jesus wants us to do things in a whole new way. Revelation 21 says that one day he will make all things new once and for all. No more living under the bondage of the law. As the bridegroom, he makes us new creations, gives us a new spirit, and gives us the new life of grace and celebration through the cross. Amen.